نحمده ونصلي ونرسله الكريم أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد مالك الجود والكرم. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعليه اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وآله وصحبه وبارك وسلم. أما بعد،
If we look at all bad things, difficulties, hardships, sorrows, spiritual illnesses and diseases, and the lack of Islam or lack of deen, every type of difficulty, mental illnesses. What is the root cause of all of this? What is the cause of all of this? Look, when you identify the root cause of something, that this is the reason for this, then it's very easy to identify the cure. And until you don't understand the reason, the cause for something, for that illness, that disease, you don't know the cause, then there are a lot of complications in that scenario. Lots of hurdles, lots of barriers. It takes a long time and the cure is not reached. Allah is Kareem, and especially on the human beings, especially the believers, the mu'mineen, Allah Ta'ala has given His fadl, His grace, His mercy, that Allah Ta'ala has given us such a kitab, a book which especially Allah Ta'ala inside it has said that there's cure in this kitab, there's mercy in this kitab, rahmah, and especially for the mu'mineen, 100% it is. So we are not in loss at all in reality. It cannot be for us that if Allah Ta'ala has said about this kitab that there's shifa in this kitab, then there's rahmah as well, then for a mu'min, how can a mu'min lose out and suffer in any way? Think about it. That Allah has given the kitab to that person, the book. That person Allah has given the book to and revealed it to. He is Rahmatul Lil Alameen. Yes? Who came to deliver that message. He is Rahmatul Lil Alameen. Mercy to mankind. And we've got such a great guidance and such a confirmed kitab. And even after that, a person loses out and suffers. What's the reason for that? The reason for that is that we temporarily or on the side accept this kitab, but we don't accept it from our heart. When, for example, a doctor or somebody gives a cure, if you don't accept him from your heart, then you won't utilize the medicines that person prescribes. Yes? I remember that, for example, I go to places and, for example, if you don't believe in that person or if you don't accept that doctor and they say, did you use the medicine? You say, oh, I don't feel like it. So, to accept from the heart is the most important thing. That if you accept from the heart, then even if in that medicine there's no effect, then Allah Ta'ala will create the effect in that solution. So this is such a kitab, and we accept it, but despite accepting it, we're still in loss. We are given a complete list of our problems, and maybe there's nothing that I've not covered already, what I've just said. And my start, my initiation was that in that every point I included in that. So nothing's left for us. That a person is probably occupied. If you see somebody's mentally unwell, depression. Now what's that? medicine here, medicine there, tranquilizer there, this dose here, this there, the jinn and ghost and amil and a magician and exorcist. But if only a person takes the guidance of this kitab, about which Allah Ta'ala said that everything is present in this kitab. And the kitab will prescribe to you the solution. How can it be that Allah Ta'ala has given this kitab, the shifa and this rahmah in it, especially for the mu'mineen, the believers, and he is losing out? So it's our mistake then, isn't it? It's our fault if we don't look at this kitab. We don't refer to this kitab. And all cures are present in this kitab, as I said. So what's the root cause? The Quran is telling us that all the sicknesses that I explained to you, or the maladies, what's the reason behind them? Say Subhanallah. Why is the reason being told? Because when you realize the reason of an illness, then the cure is there. The solution's there. If you know the reason, then there's nothing left. Nothing's hidden left. There's no issue then after that. No obstruction. So everybody who's listening or sat here, somebody is occupied or affected by a disease or an illness or an issue. So the Quran tells us the root cause of that. One is the common illness nowadays, which we call depression, from the young person to the old person. Everyone you see nowadays, people complain of depression. What's the reason for this that the Quran is telling us? What is this depression, this illness? What is this distress? Oh, I'm upset. Why does a person suddenly become totally like despondent and lose hope? Why do suddenly arguments start in the house? Suddenly you're sitting at home and suddenly your character changes. Yes, emotionally, especially the mu'mineen I'm speaking to. Why does a person suddenly get disturbed? Why does our society or environment get disturbed? Why is there divorce suddenly taking place? 30, 40 years, decades people live together, suddenly divorce. Children as well they have. So what's the reason for this? What are the reasons for this? So the Quran tells us the reason. There's a reason for this. And what is that reason? Wasawis. Thoughts. Negative thoughts. Yes, nafsiati, people understand this, what I'm saying. This is called also nafsiati, the word, you know, inner thoughts, and evil thoughts. There's no other reason for this. Bad thoughts is the reason. Wasawis. Yes, this is what we call waswasa, wasawis in Arabic as well. Bad thoughts, negative thoughts. So these are the thoughts that suddenly make a person go crazy. The thoughts are what make him fight and quarrel. These negative thoughts will deceive you. Thoughts will make you fearful. Everything, the thoughts overwhelm a person and control him, his movements. Everything about him. And if these thoughts can come under control, then the human being becomes very strong indeed as a human being. لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون, Allah says. Those people, they have controlled and they're on top of their thoughts. No khawf, no gham. Allah awliya Allah, Allah says. These are the friends of Allah. Allah Ta'ala has defined his friends awliya. Awliya are those who show miracles, karamat, and many murids. He has so many people, followers, and he shows this and that, and magic. No, this is not awliya Allah. Awliya, wali Allah is that person who's the friend of Allah. And the friend is he who accepts the order of the boss. Yeah, cannot say Subhanallah. It can't be said. If I say I'm your friend, you say, okay, tonight we'll go and we'll do this action. Oh no, no, it's too hard for me, my friend. I've got other guests coming and relatives coming, and then I'll get busy. Oh, another thing he asks you to do. So I'm doing something. So forget it. He's not my friend. He's not with me. He's talking rubbish. Yes, and that person comes out of your heart, and he's saying, oh, food, come to me for you. He said, no, I don't want to go. Oh, he's not right, that person. I don't want to go with him to eat. So friend is he who accepts the invitation or whatever his friend says straight. That's it. And what is the friend of Allah? He who listens to the words of Allah, he is the friend of Allah. End of story. He doesn't have horns on his head. He doesn't float in the air. He doesn't fly in the air. He doesn't show karamat. He doesn't show miracles or kashf. Nothing. He just does one thing, the wali Allah. Whatever Allah says, he does it. That's the wali Allah. Say Subhanallah. And he becomes the friend of Allah. And today if we do this, make a pact, a bond, contract with Allah, any woman, man, sister, brother, doesn't matter how dirty we are, doesn't matter how many sins, but if we say, Allah, today I extend my hand, you extend your hand, Allah, let's make friendship with you. I'm your friend, Allah, I want to become your friend, you become my friend. Then they are the friends of Allah and Allah is their friend. That's it, minor. this is the way to make the friendship with Allah. When you take the hand and you promise to Allah, and then whatever Allah wants, whatever goes, goes. Then we do not reject the words of our friend, subhanAllah. And we say, لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. The first and foremost, the solution, Allah says, the first reward you get is that your thoughts come under control, the negative thoughts. So you grab hold of them and you control them. Thoughts. Now, if we look now, thoughts, bad thoughts, negative thoughts, the Quran will tell us, isn't it? Allah in the Quran is a verse, the final surah, I'm not mufassir, I'm not giving tafsir of the Quran, I'm just speaking generally with you. And there's a surah Allah Ta'ala revealed, such a fantastic, brilliant surah it is. Right at the end, Allah Ta'ala has kept it. Why? Because this humble servant thinks that everything Allah Ta'ala says, that all the situations and circumstances of a human being, Allah Ta'ala has shown in this surah the solution to those issues. Such a brilliant surah Allah Ta'ala has revealed, that at the end of the Quran, after reading the whole Quran, the insan, if he understands this surah, then he gains success. What is this surah? أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس. Every child knows this surah. There's no child maybe who doesn't know this surah. We read this surah. And look, Allah Ta'ala in the Quran, what is he saying? The final surah, last surah of the Quran. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. قُلْ, Allah says, O my beloved Nabi, you announce this. You say. Now Allah Ta'ala is explaining. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ. Three qualities Allah Ta'ala has mentioned of His. Rabb, Malik, the King of the Kings. Ilah, no one is in control except Allah. The three, Allah has given three qualities. Allah says, I am a Rabb, I am the King of the Kings, and I am the King of mankind. Why? Because Allah has given the reference of three qualities, attributes here, for the sake of controlling the wasawis. Why? What's the reason for this? That waswasa is the reason, the negative thoughts, that when a person, due to the waswasa, he becomes a munkar of these three qualities. Well, Rabb, Allah says, I am the Lord of mankind. I am Rabb. Yes, Allah says, I create. He who created us, tell me. One is artificial, a system that we see around us. For example, a mother gives birth to a child. Say, subhanAllah. It's not the doctor who gives birth. Who gives birth? The mother gives birth to the child. It's the system Allah Ta'ala has created, isn't it? Allah is the Rabb. He is the Lord. He is the creator, but it's the mother who gives the birth. Yes? So what is this? When a mother gives birth to the child, then Rabb, Allah says that also in the Quran, Allah has mentioned the parents as Rabb. Kama rabbayani saghira. Regarding the mother and the father. They are also, yes, they're temporary, not the reality. They're not the real Lord. But Allah has given that quality, that characteristic. Because the mother, when she gives birth to the child, what's the responsibility of the mother? To rear that child, to bring up that child, to look after that child. So Allah Ta'ala says, in their body I have created the milk for the child. Look at that. And through the milk, the child is given nourishment. There's nothing he can't bite, he can't chew, nothing. All the vitamins, nourishment, proteins, everything that the child needs. Whatever you can get from the breast milk, you cannot get from the tinned milk, from the powdered milk. Nothing. The children who 2 years take the milk of the mother, then they are, mashallah, the palwans, the wrestlers. Yes, and aqal, wisdom, intellect, they will very quickly do hifz of the Quran. Why? Because they're bringing up, not artificially, they were naturally brought up. Because Allah Ta'ala who is the Rabb, and through the mother, the mother gives birth to the child. So she brought up the child through the nourishment that Allah gave. So, do you understand what I'm saying? So Allah is the Rabb, and through the woman, Allah says that the child is given birth to. So Allah is the real one who brings up and gives life, one is the mother who temporarily brings up the child. Allah has prepared for the mother to bring up the child. For 2 years she feeds the child. She has no need for anything else to give the food to the child. Yes? So this is a Sharia nukta, that there's a point that how long you should continue to breastfeed the child. So who is the real Lord? That will he not bring up that insan and look after that insan? Yes? That human being, that Allah Ta'ala says that if I've given life to the human being, will I not give him what he needs, his necessities in the world? Will I not give him what he needs? The body I've created according to his body, will I not deliver the vitamins to that person, that human being? Yes, if you take one banana, if you take a banana and eat it, you will not need to eat artificial vitamins. All the vitamins are there in a banana. Take an orange, take an apple. What do we say this? That if you eat an apple a day is enough for that person, isn't it? An apple a day? What do they say? What's the next part of that statement? It's apple a day, isn't it? If you eat one apple, that's it, it's enough for a person. So what is this? That in one fruit, on one item of food, Allah has concealed all the vitamins. That if in the breast of the mother, through her blood, it's transformed into milk and warm milk. In the hot climate, it's a cold milk. And in the cold climate, it's the warm milk, so that he doesn't get a bad throat. So he doesn't cough. Say Subhanallah. So Allah is Rabb, who has created the world and created the human being and given all of these resources. Then will he not give us everything that we need in life? Allah is Rabb, the Lord. And Allah is the Lord of those who believe and those who disbelieve. For this reason, brothers, because Allah has created everything. And He has a connection with everything. So what are we? So we reject Allah, our Rabb. We say, no, He's not our Rabb. Imagine this. Yes, such a great reality, and we're rejecting it. Second point, so Allah says, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. I am the true Lord. Then Allah says, مَلِكِ النَّاسِ. Allah says, مَلِكِ النَّاسِ, the king, the true king. What is a king? If you have a king of a country, like here, there's the prime minister in this country. So it's lazim, whatever laws the prime minister passes, then the citizen will have to implement them. Will he have to, won't he? And if he says, pray the mask, everybody will have a mask. If he says, take the mask off, they'll take the mask off. Who is saying, where's the hukum coming from above? So the real kings, the classical kings, yes, they don't have parliament and ministers. They just say, do this, that's it. Everyone has to listen. So the king of the kings is Allah, but we reject and disobey Allah. Yes, the people who believe, they disobey, and the people who don't believe, they disobey. They say, there's no king. There is no king. We don't accept. What's the reason for this? Allah Ta'ala says, Allah is making us, reminding us that you don't believe me as the Rabb, you don't believe me as the Malik. Ilah, Allah says, Ilahin nas, and he who rears you, brings you up, is the Malik, he's the king, and he's the one who gives the king of mankind, and you reject him openly in the world. And you've made somebody else your Allah, your God. You ask from somebody else or other people. Thousands of other things you do. What's the reason for this? Look how in this verse, in this surah, Allah Ta'ala is clearly, if you read it, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ. These three attributes of Allah, qualities that a human being rejects. What's the reason for this? What a great surah. What's the reason a person rejects? That why is a person become a disbeliever? And if you say he's got iman, why is he eat haram? Why does he laugh and mock and not practice? Why don't you have yaqeen in Allah? Why don't you prostrate to Allah? Why don't you ask to Allah? What's the reason? Allah Ta'ala has explained, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ مِن شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ. What's the reason for this, Allah says? Is the wasawis, from the evil of the sneaking whisper. The evil whisper. The Quran is telling us this, isn't it? This introduction I gave to you, an explanation, that the pure reason for this, that if a person controls his waswasa, evil thoughts, then every human being will start to believe. Everyone will accept Allah as the Lord, as the Rabb, and prostrate to Him. What's the reason we don't do it? Is the sneaking evil whispers that are developed within human being. The waswasa takes a human being far from Allah. He doesn't believe Allah as the Rabb. He believes everything, but he doesn't believe Allah as the Rabb. That he even knows that there are kings around him, but he doesn't believe in the King of the Kings. Yes? Yeah, he sees all leaders around him, but he doesn't believe in Allah as the Rabb, as the Hakim. He doesn't prostrate to Allah. He doesn't believe Allah as Ma'bud, as the controller. So what's the reason for this? Not that he doesn't know a person's born like this. No, the reason is waswas. Waswas. What's the Quran saying? That the first thing here is that you need to prepare for combating your waswasa. If you are to save yourself from the whispering so you can practice the Quran. You have to save yourself from the whispering so you can realize what you are. If you can, you need to save yourself from the whispering so you go away from the sins, from the azab of Jahannam, of the qabr. All of these azab will be because you did not control your wasawis, the thoughts, bad thoughts in the dunya is a very big message, I'm telling you. Very big message. Why don't you pray salah? I'm lazy. Why don't you do good deeds? I'm lazy. Why do you do zina? Oh, I'm just forced to. I don't know. I just feel bad. I tried my hardest. Why do you smoke cannabis? Oh, I don't know what's the reason. I try my best, my heart. Why do you look at girls and women? Oh, I try so hard, but I can't save myself. Why do you do haram in your business? Rabb, the Lord is the one who gives. If you have yaqeen in Allah, then will he ever do haram? If he has belief in Allah that my Rabb, my Lord has written this much in my destiny and this is the biggest, most beneficial thing for me in my life. I have no need to go beyond that and more than that. So Allah created me. I know how much capacity I have, how much my stomach is, how big it is. And if my stomach only one chapati alone, then I'll eat five chapatis, then it will burst, won't it, my stomach? Won't it burst? No, it won't burst. Yes? Because he has the capacity, so that's the stomach, that's the size, that's what we need. So I'll eat just that much, I'll eat that many pieces of bread or chapati, that much that my stomach is filling. What is filling up the stomach? Yeah, so that's it, very easy to understand. So when Allah is giving you something, the Rabb, the Lord, and He knows that how much He needs, what's His necessity. Yeah, Allah knows for His family and Him, He needs this much to eat, to live. I'm just giving this much. He says, Alhamdulillah, Allah knows our necessity. And then the amount Allah gives us, definitely that will fulfill our requirements. Our tire is punctured. Oh, waswasa comes. Oh, if I get a tire puncture, oh no, then I have to earn money more if, in case this happens. Or if I don't pay this bill, then what will happen? Yaar, if this happens to me, I'll become poor and destitute. Oh, in Pakistan, if this happens, then how will I do that? All I need to have money to get... Do this, oh yaar, I need to prepare the resources. This is called wasawis. Waswasa, all day long thinking, say subhanallah. Yes, while you're sitting down, you're just getting bad thoughts and distress. Allah says, I'm your Malik, your Rabb. And whoever believes in his Rabb and has yaqeen, certain, la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. No, bro, this is enough for me. Why should I spend time doing ibadah and worship? And this is enough for me. This, my car won't stop, it will keep on running. My car won't break down. And that's what happens, that the friends of Allah, their car doesn't stop. Their vehicle doesn't stop. Why? Because they don't have desires beyond that. They don't go beyond that, expand. Hey, my house is nice, I don't need a big house, I'll get problems if I do that. But they, no, I'm satisfied with what I've got. That's it. So what do they say? Oh, he's foolish, stupid, people say. He doesn't work, he doesn't know how to run a business. He's destroyed his dunya. He's destroyed his... Look how people are progressing today, advancing in the world. Look him till today. He hasn't even made a house in India. People have got three houses and plots in India. And all of those, the people who live on the rent, the tenants, they take all the houses. They take all the money and the rent and the houses and their court cases, they're fighting. Oh, I made a house in the Pind, you know, Kuti I made, a big mansion in my village. I didn't understand today, what's the difference between a house and a mansion? I don't understand, what's the difference between a villa and a house? Islamabad, oh, you have got two villas in Islamabad. What's a villa? Now remember the hadith, I'll tell you what is a villa afterwards. I'll explain to you what's a mansion. You've got time today, isn't it, to listen to me a little bit, yeah? Yes, that I am sick here, I'm well, and just due to your love, I'm here, otherwise I wouldn't have come today. I'm sat in front of you, but it's due to you, I'm saying otherwise I was very unwell today. Anyway. What was I saying? The Rabb, our Lord, we've stopped accepting our Lord, whatever our Lord says, and He knows our needs. And what's the reason for this? Allah told us Himself. The reason for all of this is that you don't believe me as your Rabb, you don't believe me as the King, you don't believe me as the God of mankind. Min sharril waswasil khannas. The reason you don't believe and accept in me is that waswasa has taken you over you and is taking you far from me. What's the reason? That you need to control the whispering, the evil thoughts. Now here Allah Ta'ala, further after that, makes everything very clear. Say subhanAllah. Who? How? Allah Ta'ala, then how do I control the bad thoughts, the evil thoughts, the waswasa? So what is waswasa? Allah says, how do you control it? We don't even know how to control it. We don't understand the method so that we can make our life good. Because here's our cure coming now, isn't it here? A cure. What a great cure and solution. If you make this solution, we'd believe Allah so much as our Rabb, we would have no need for anyone else after that. All problems finished there and then. And that Hakim, whatever he tells us, whenever we reject him, he says, keep the beard this long, we'll keep it that long. Whatever libas he tells us to wear, he likes, we'll wear that libas, that attire. Whatever face he tells you to adopt, we'll adopt that face and that appearance. So why is it we don't do that? Why do we follow our desires and our nafs and our ego? We don't want to follow Allah's desires and Allah's preference. Allah Ta'ala says that everything I've told you, what I prefer in all actions. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنٌ. Allah says, He is my preference that I sent Him to you, O mankind. He is my preference, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the definition of my preference and what I like and what I'm pleased with. That all what He did is what I'm pleased with, O my Mabub. Just keep on copying Him, imitating Him, and just understand automatically that I'm happy with you. Say Subhanallah. But no, we don't want to imitate Him. We want to imitate these people. غَيْرِ الْمَغْدُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. That's very good for us, we say. Strive that we will prostrate to you, Allah, but we will imitate them. Astaghfirullah, it will be your Jum'ah, Allah, but we will pray naked like them. Yeah, left, right, behind us, everything will be visible. Quran will be yours, Allah, but we'll pray in their way and recite in their way. We'll go to Medina, Allah, we'll stand at the holy fence, the Rawda, but we'll be stood in their way. Is this happening today or not? Tell me. What do we come back from Madinatul Manura? Tell me. Lanatullah. Allah's lanat, curse is what a human being is back. There's no bigger loss than this. What does a person bring back from the Kaaba? Ghadab Allah. Allah's ghadab and wrath and anger. I'm not saying this, the Quran is saying this. Ghazab, wrath of Allah. And we're rotating doing tawaf. And we're not rotating doing tawaf, but rather the slaps are being given to us. Allah says, I've invited you, I give you a man, I brought you in, but oh disrespectful person, you've not accepted me as the Hakim, as the Lord, as the King, as the God. If you did, then you would follow your life according to my orders. When you're doing tawaf, your face would be correct, your clothes would be correct, inside you'd be correct, externally would be correct. Everything would be according to my hukum and order. That's called obeying the Hakim. Now, if you believe me in the Hakim, your food, drink, walking, employment, house, business, everything. Whose hukum would you obey? My hukum, Allah says. My order, my preference. My color. My preference. What's your color, Allah? Sibghatullah wa mahsan. There's no more beautiful color. There's no greater method and lifestyle than this that Allah Ta'ala is defining. Allah's Nabi Sallam, the example that Allah Ta'ala sent to us. Libas, then His libas is the greatest. The color He likes is the best color. Whatever he ate, his food was the best. The style, the way he used to sleep was the best way. The style and the manner that he walked with, that was the best way to walk. The way that he used to smile and laugh, that was the best way from everything. And the way the lovers of his were more than 100,000, Allah Ta'ala created his companions. And the way they smiled, they also smiled. The way he walked, they also used to walk like that. Why? Because they believed Allah as their Rabb, His companions. They believed Allah as their Hakim. They believed Allah as their King. The King is He. Then we will obey the King. Say Subhanallah. Not this, say in a plane for a few hours, go to another country. Oh no, our Rabb there was someone else and here someone else. There we like something else and here we like something else. No, there's any corner of the world wherever Allah Ta'ala takes you. We have one color, one effect, one lifestyle, which is the color, the lifestyle of Rasulullah says. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't understand what I'm saying. So say loudly, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Yes, what's the reason? Why are there so many ways in one masjid? You come to a masjid, how many different colors and ways and styles there are? Oh, he's too strict, this person. He's taken us back and backward from the dunya. Am I taking you backward or making you a wali of Allah? Tell me. Are we going forward or are we going back? Tell me in reverse gear. We are advanced as people, mashallah. We're modern, most modern from everybody. Most modern who is who? The person who came afterwards. Eh? The Christians, the Jews, they were there before. And all the other religions before. The Hindus, they were there before, weren't they? The final Mazhab is what? Indallah al-Islam, which Allah Ta'ala prefers and likes, came after. So that's the most modern. So what's the most modern way then? That comes the latest, fashionable, recent. So I am most fashionable when I wear the dhoti and the izhar. I'm most fashionable when I wear the imama, the blessed imama. Most modern when am I? Say subhanallah. Yes, and these people are just saying it verbally. Logic, if you at least use your brains and logic, then if you're arguing. The who's most modern? Me, I'm most modern. Most latest fashion, latest lifestyle, latest ideology, latest practice I've got. Everything is latest. My Quran is the latest. My salah is the latest. My ibadah is the latest. My worship is the latest. My libas is the latest. My beard is the latest. My walking is the latest. My everything, my practice is the new, modern. And you are the old age, backward thousands of years ago. What you're doing, your qawms are doing. Thousands of years historic. Say subhanallah. So we are the modern people, brothers. We are the advanced people, progressive people. These are backward people, those that do the other actions. So we have become modern today, haven't you? Yes, has the inferiority complex been extracted? Tell me. This is called inferiority complex. Yes, we're running and giving our whole lives away. I want to be modern and advanced, pagal, mad people. We are the advanced people. We are the progressive people. So you become advanced now, isn't it? The more you imitate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the more advanced and modern and progressive you become. So what was it? What does the Quran say is the solution? قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ. This is why you don't follow in Allah, believe in Allah. مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ. Due to the evil of the sneaking, whispering, the evil thoughts, the bad thoughts. Waswasa. Cure now Allah has given. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. Mahbub, my beloved, tell them, the people, to save yourself from the bad thoughts, the tariqah I'll tell you, I'll give you the formula, the solution, how you can be saved from the whispering. Two things we've learned. One, our destruction, the root cause of our destruction is what? Wasawis. Isn't it? Correct? Fi sudurin nas. So who created this? Who created the waswasa? Min sharril waswasil khannas. The who creates the evil whisper? Shaitan. Why? Because he said, aduwwum mubeen. He said, not some small time enemy. He's come from thousands of years. He got the permission from Allah. He came with ijazah. He didn't come without ijazah. Yeah? That can anyone without ijazah do the work against Allah? He was very understanding. He was alim, arif. He was aware. He had all the knowledge. He said, let me take the permission from Allah. Allah will give this permission because Allah listens to anyone's dua, anyone's supplication. He said, okay, fine, Allah, you're expelling me. You're sending me away from it. But one request from me, please accept. Allah said, what? He said, that I want to deviate, I want these people who follow you and believe in you to leave you. Have I got permission? Allah says, permission. Go from in front, from behind, from the top, from below. Whatever you want to do, from any direction, I give you ijazah, you can go. Go and try and to deviate them. He said, okay, I've got the permission. So Allah Ta'ala also then gave the solution to his servant. Say, subhanallah. Allah announced, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ. Oh, Mahbub, announce to the people about Shaitan. He will try his hardest. And what's the tariqah to be saved from him? A'ud, Allah says, there's only one way, that turn to Allah immediately. Seek refuge in Allah. Do you understand my tafsir? Do you understand my tafsir? My commentary? Yes. What a beautiful surah. What's the tariqah Allah Ta'ala said? That turn to me, focus on me. When the waswasa comes to you, when Shaitan says, give du'us to him, fight this person, take the kids out of the house, and do this to your wife, and do this to people, then immediately understand that what is this? That this is not deen. This is not me. Who is this? This is Shaitan destroying me. So immediately what should you do? قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّنَّا. Seek refuge in Allah. The Lord immediately turned to Allah and seek refuge in Allah. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّنَّا. مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ أَلَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ. And what is the place? Let me tell you hadith of Sahih Muslim. Say Subhanallah. So that you understand and so that I can remember the hadith properly. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala says in this hadith, the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the human being inside his heart, bayatan, There are two quarters, say subhanAllah. Two places, do you understand? Two quarters, two rooms. Small house. Where? Where? In the heart. Dr. Saab, say I've got two rooms in my house. You say, you mad? You'll get a heart attack if you say two, your veins are blocking, valves. If you, what they say, if one's blocking, then put something else in there. Insert something in there. I can't remember what it is. They say they installed this, somebody's got three or four, there's blockages. They say put the stent in, yes, put the valve in or insert the tube in. Maybe there's people sat here ready, waiting for the operation, for their turn. Isn't it? And you're saying you've got rooms in your heart. There are rooms in your heart, but they say that there are different valves and different entrances. So should we listen to the doctor or to this hadith? Say subhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that qalbi baytan, that in your heart, there are two quarters, two separate quarters, first class house inside. Look at this. Now here, what do we learn from this? So I'll extend here a little bit the discussion. That the whole, the human body, we have the eyes, the mouth, the hand, the ears, all of our organs, limbs, there are two. One is zahiri, one is batini. One is the real and one is the temporary. One is the mouth that we have here. Yes, this is external and is temporary. Yes, just for here, for this dunya. One is hakiki, real, the eyes. One is a zahiri, one is a batini. The hands, one is zahiri, one batini. It's not reality, it's not real. The real thing, what will be the real eye? SubhanAllah, the real eye is what? How do you get that? Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, from his eye, that in the dark night, he saw a dark ant crawling on the mountain. So what eye was that? What glasses was he wearing? This was that same eye I'm referring to. And what was it? That was the reality of vision that he had. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, yes, he could hear the words of the ants, all the stories of the spiders. He's listening to everything. So what was this hearing? It was the same ears. This is the reality of hearing. Do you understand what I'm saying? So this is the reality of listening or seeing. Vision, your vision becomes different and you begin to have a proper vision. And your listening becomes different and unique. Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam. Yes, from so far, Yusuf alayhi salam is giving the Quran. Was he saying, Yaqub alayhi salam, that I can smell the fragrance of Yusuf, subhanAllah. Yes, so these two, three things are coming to my mind. I won't speak too much, otherwise time is short and I don't feel well, but there are beautiful points coming to my mind that I'd like to discuss. Maybe another time, if I remember. So I said, Yaqub alayhi salam said, no. Everyone's saying that you're just saying this for nothing, I don't know what you're talking about, what's happened to you. People say this, don't they? The Hafiz, mashallah, they understand, they've read the Quran, the verse. They don't know what you're talking about, you keep saying Yusuf is doing this, you keep saying this. How can it be? If you love somebody, you will mention his name, my Sheikh, my Hazrat, he's with me, he's doing this. This is the point, isn't it? Yes, when you come on, they say, you keep on talking about Hazrat, other things, talk about somebody else, something else. When you talk, my Hazrat said this, my Sheikh did this, he does this. This is called pure and true love, muhabbat. Crazy, mad love. When this mad love comes, it's called fanaful sheikh, this person has become. Fanaful sheikh. Immersed in his sheikh. Of all mission, when he comes home to the family, Hazrat Sahab said this today, he said do this, Hazrat Sahab was doing this, Hazrat Sahab did this, and there will be dhikr now, and there will be a majlis is about to start, this is happening now. Or say something else, talk about something, always you just talk about this. He says, what can I say, I'm just madly in love. SubhanAllah. So this also occurs to those people who have overtaken them. When the love increases, then the junoon, the deep love increases. And both are human beings. But his style is what? Because zahiri, he is gone towards the batin and emphasis on his inner state, the spiritual state that overtakes the person. You don't understand what I'm saying? So what's the situation now? Going back to the So Yaqub alayhi salam said, no. What's this fragrance, this smell that I can experience? So his hearing, his vision becomes something else, his listening becomes something else, and his smelling becomes something else. And going beyond physical, go to the batini reality from thousands of miles away, you could smell and you could see far away. That's what Nubab is, when a person does ittiba, then these qualities and attributes come into a person when he does ittiba and he implements and he obeys. The same as Abdul Qadir Jilani, Ramtari becomes a person, can become like that. And what did he say? That this dunya, this world, America, with the continents, you have Africa, plane ticket goes so far, you have the oceans, the seven oceans and the sky. He said, forget all of this. That Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullah, said, rahmatullah, he said that this is my bowl, and the whole dunya I can see here, it's rotating and it's here, the extension of my hand, I can see what's going on. He wasn't lying. He was saying that I can see everything here revolving around the cycles of the earth, because the reality of vision he had, reality of hearing, reality of smelling, everything, he was spiritually advanced individual. And they were human beings just like us. Yes. And I don't even understand the language of the Quran. Mawlana Sahib, when he gives a speech in the Jummah time, we don't even understand what he's saying, pray Salah every day. And we don't even listen to them. Yes, those who give nasihah to us, advise us, and give us lecture speeches, we don't even understand what they're telling us. But when a person, then he starts to read the Ba'a of Rasulullah, then he becomes like, just like Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani, such a Rabb, such a Hakim, that he believes in such a way that Allah Ta'ala says his whole reality of life changes. And we don't work hard, we don't get to that position. But if a person works hard and he gets to that point, then work hard, do effort, believe Allah as your Rabb, as your Lord, and believe Him as your Hakim, as your King. Three qualities Allah said in the beginning, isn't it? That believe Allah is ilah, no God except Him, and then do sajda and see and experience the feeling. But our salah and our sujood is just like we're paying the rent and we're doing it. Astaghfirullah. Yes, and there are values for our salah, for the other actions we do. My brothers, they were human beings just like us. Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani, they said that the dunya is like this. Hazrat Khwaja Mohinuddin Chishti, I'm speaking to you about the walis of Allah, Hazrat Khwaja Mohinuddin Chishti. He said, these two fingers, when I look below them, then I can see all the skies, the seven heavens and the seven earths. When I look at top, I reach to the heights of the heavens. He said, ask me what you want to ask, I will tell you the answer. Yes? He said himself that we don't understand, but we've been given that vision far and close. The distance ends. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala says that He gets the qualities, the attributes of reality. So if we see here now that we right now, if we compare ourselves to all of this, we are so minor apart from the dunya. We have nothing to our name. Instead of in our pockets money and in our shops stock and in our safes just money, nothing. And what is the life we have spent? And there's another life in parallel. Imagine that their eyesight's different, their hearing's different, their tongues are different, their smelling's different, their speaking's different. They're so different that even the angels don't understand the wisdom of the words, but they know. So beautiful they become, the angels, they are latif and beautiful. But on their mujahidat, Allah's obedience, after all of this, they become so latif that those people, the friends of Allah, they are higher than the maqam of the angels as well. So we should make effort, have courage. There is that place to work. If Allah has given you 50 years, then in 50 years you can do such excellent, excellent deeds. You know, you have 60 years, 70 years, and behind us we have the stamp. Your life won't go a day beyond that or below that, less than that. Even if you have 1,000 sicknesses, wallah, you cannot die until that date, that stamp that has been stamped on you, that day comes, you cannot pass away. Yes, so why are you afraid of the things that you're afflicted with in the world? Rather, use the time you have. Yeah, but so much time wasted, our youth, our middle age, old age coming, we wasted our old age, wasted our youth. Oh, as soon as a child is born, where will he earn from? Where will he eat from? Where will he consume from? What will happen to the child? These are special words. What will this poor lad do? I will die. Where will he go? Who will help him? The mother says, when I die, I don't know what my child's going to do when I'm not with him. How will he get married? And how will she get married? He might have no children. I don't know after this, what will happen to my children? Subhanallah. Is there any Rabb that we believe Allah, the Rabb who is the Malik, the King, the Lord and the God? Kul a'udhu bi Rabbin nas, Malikin nas, Ilahin nas. Read this surah, now you realize what this surah is. That what is this treasure that Allah Ta'ala sealed in the Quran? Allah says that wasawis, the bad thoughts have destroyed you, made you weak. That when we start to believe in Allah as our Rabb, immediately a waswasa comes when we try to believe in Allah. It takes us away from ibadah, far from our shaykh. No, yaar, what's he talking about? Shaykh Sahib said this, and then we stop coming to the majlis. We change our path, our direction. Inside there are the signs. The shaykh put the noor in the heart of that person. But waswasa, look at the achievement of waswasa. Despite having all the noor and the teaching inside, the person goes far away. Allah Ta'ala is saying this. And eventually Allah said that you'll be destroyed. That's why Allah Ta'ala put the surah at the end, that you'll be destroyed if you don't control the bad thoughts. From high levels people fall down. I've seen people fall down. Remember this point. Remember this point. All salasils, now, all the silsilas are haq, truth. They're high, they're great, they're fantastic. The silsilas, the orders of tasawwuf. But the Naqshbandi order, nothing can compare to Naqshbandi silsila. I'm not saying this because I'm Naqshbandi. I am a sheikh of all four silsilas. Yes, I, alhamdulillah, because my Rabb, via my Sheikh Ali Murtaza in Makkah, I was given this honor. Makkatul Mukarma, I was given this honor, permission. My Sheikh stood up and announced in Makkah that go, all everything that's inside me I've transferred to you. I'll give you the permission of all four silsila. So I'm telling you based on ni'mah, as a gift I'm telling you this. Yes, yes, that Allah Ta'ala's ni'mah, and I am making that blatant. The Allah Ta'ala says I can take a person high, I can take a person low. It's my choice. I will select. Yes, but Allah is happy. Allah is pleased. If Allah Ta'ala takes us to the heights, Allah is happy. If He drags us in the street, Allah is happy. Nobody can become, nobody can lose. Allah says, I make a person and I take away from a person. No one who can have hasad or is jealous can take the maqam of that person away. No one can, a person who praises him, praise him beyond what he can, what his level is. Say subhanAllah. So all four silsilas, orders of tawaf, I do wazaif, I can teach, I can give the permission, I have the ijazah in all four silsilas. Alhamdulillah. It's not the case that I don't. Rather, even the women folk, especially, I give them the teaching of Qadri silsila. I don't give the women folk the teaching of Naqshbandi silsila. Many women folk, they complain, the Amr Akbar said, just be quiet, the silsila, you've got Qadriya, the teaching, the dhikr is a great silsila. You should be happy. Then Qadri silsila and your sheikh is Naqshbandi. He's giving you the Qadri teaching, but he's a Naqshbandi sheikh. So you get him both things, both effects. Without the wazifa, just be quiet, continue the dhikr, and great wazifas of Qadri silsila for the women folk. And also make your women folk bayad. Do you just want to go into Jannah yourself? Such a great silsila. Phone the sheikh, speak to the sheikh, and become bayad. Take the bayah. You don't need to come in front. You don't need to be on the barda. No physical meeting. Nothing. Just pick up the phone. Sheikh is karam and grace. He makes you Naqshbandi. This is such great preparation intazam Allah has made. But we're so jahil and backward and ignorant. Our women focus sitting at home. We don't want them to become good. Such an answer you'll have to give tomorrow. You will realize. You neglect the women folk. The amount of favors that women folk have on us, they give birth to your children, they give you food, they wash your clothes, they clean your house, they respect you, they honor, they preserve your honor, they look after your house, they take the strictness and the coldness. We do nothing. They do ironing, and you just wear the libas, come and pray salah, and you think you're a big man, and that maybe you think you're better than them. Yes, so how oppressed are the women folk today? Look at their hands, the poor women, they cook make the chapatis, cutting the onions, and their fingers, they get cut up. Beautiful hands they have, the poor women, and they split and they cut and they get scarred. Oh no, you put less salt and less spices in the food when you see their hand, how beautiful they were before. But when she's come to you in your house and you made her cut the onion so much that she's spoiled her hands, cut the garlic and the ginger, and look how they've disfigure their hands. What answer will you give to Allah? That you couldn't even give her the deen? You couldn't even give her the good fragrance of Jannah? The women folk in your home? The whole verse, the whole surah, Allah says, Al-Muslimin, Wal-Sadiqin, Wal-Dhakirat, Allah says that those believing men, believing women, all the attributes, look, where did Allah Ta'ala leave the women behind? Did He? No. In parallel, those women folk who do dhikr in excess, just like the men who do dhikr, and you just kept doing yourself, and tomorrow will you not be asked? That used to rotate your tasbih, go and sit in the majalis. That did you not have any thought for your wife and the women folk in your home? Where's the zakirat gone? Yes, I've gone a bit on the other track today now, on another subject for the women folk of the sisters. This oppression, injustice. Is it just you think that you've come to me just to better yourself? What about home? What about your family? Beg to your sheikh that please bring my wife towards the deen as well. And so that her salahs improve, so her deen improves as well. So also she has muhabbat and love, and she has some akal and awareness. Why? Because in salasil, Allah Ta'ala has put the barakah in these orders of tasawwuf, the noor and the barakah, that as soon as a person is joined, then direct he reaches to the connection of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. Direct. This all Allah Ta'ala has created these silsilas for us, the orders, the sawwuf salasil, these chains of sheikhs, that you sat in Bolton and you're taking the enjoyment of Medina. By chance, even if you can't go in your life, you can't go lifetime. Mujaddad al-Aftalinam, they didn't even go on that blessed journey. Everything he attained where he was, tell me. So this is a person who can't travel, a woman can't travel. It's not necessary. Allah Ta'ala has made such a chain that tasbih is here, you will do the sister, and dua will take place there in Medina. So there's no distance between. And your deeds are presented to the Holy Prophet ﷺ. Is it not told to the Holy Prophet ﷺ that it's this sister, they recite durood to you? Is it not presented to the Prophet ﷺ? Doesn't it go? Isn't the name mentioned of the person who recited that durood? Isn't it mentioned? Allah and His Rasul ﷺ know everything about the ummah and what the practice they're doing. And He knows that what is my ummah doing. And du'as take place and sadness takes place as well. And your wife, what will be her hal, her situation? That did you not see a Naqshbandi teacher, the biggest silsila in which Mahdi alayhi salam will come in this silsila? I'm not saying this. Mujaddad al-Aftani Ramdari said this. Look at his kitab, this writing. Mahdi alayhi salam, when he comes, Imam Mahdi, the final sheikh at that time, Naqshbandi sheikh, then he will have a connection with him and he will follow him. And pick up the kitab and read it. This is silsila of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Your children, make them bayah, my friends, my brothers. This is Murtazwi Sheikh finished. Then after that, then the silsilas go far, distant. Ijtama is coming. Great Ijtama, how much rahmah will be in the Ijtama? Mercy and passion, desire, zest and determination come. The more you take today, such a good news I'm giving to you, the amount of people that will come and sit down, wasta bin wasta, everybody will be forgiven. So we're preparing for that, we're getting ready for that. Everyone Naqshbandi, and if I'm awake at that time and conscious, because if Allah gives ijazah, then everyone will be given bayah at that time. Everybody will be Naqshbandi at that time. What is Allah's Rahman, mercy, shifa, rahmatul lil mu'mineen. Quran is the Rahman, it's a shifa. But there'll be hasid in every generation. There'll be jealous people and envious people and do zulm. Don't worry. Listen to what I say and listen to them as well. Whatever your heart feels, then do that. Say subhanallah. Yes, I just follow. I just say statement of my sheikh. No happiness of he who comes and no sadness for he who departs. That's the statement of my sheikh. Whoever goes, I swear by Allah, I never think about that person. The person who departs does a U-turn. Never thought. Doesn't matter even if it's 50 years after staying with me. If he goes, I never think about it. No, no sadness about somebody who's departed. I don't even know who's that person, who's come, who's gone. The person who's come, so much love for that person who is departed, don't remember that person. That's my sheikh's statement. That was his habit. The person who's next to you, he's more beloved to me than thousands of children. Any salah, no place in which I don't do dua for that individual. Cannot be. First and foremost, after getting up, it's my responsibility of the sheikh. First and foremost, when he asks, before he gets out of his bed, he does dua for the students, for his colleagues. Any distress and difficulty may come on those people, he does dua. Such an opportunity, do dua for them. Link, this is called connection, salasil, order, tasawwuf. What is this? This is all from Allah. Allah Ta'ala has created this silsila. Today, I remember that dua of my hazrat, my sheikh. Aha, what a dua Hazrat Sahib did for me. He said, Farooqi Saab, he said, success and high, high level in this dunya and the akhirah, you will get up. Ameen, 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 three ameens, he said this. Such a du'as come from the mashaykh, from the walis of Allah, and the life is made for those people that they do du'a for. Never will that person lose out. Never will he lose out. Never will you fail. If you have a connection with the Wali Allah, never will you lose. Never will you fail in this dunya or the akhirah or the hereafter. Shaitan, how can he dare? And he said to Allah, give me permission. Allah said, Allah, give me permission. But I also will create a solution for the Muslimin that subhanallah, that they will see such people. I'll forgive them. You will try hard yourself, O Shaitan, Allah said. Say subhanallah. Such individuals I'll create, my walis, that after thousands of sins, if you go and do ziyarah of that person, I'll forgive those people who do their ziyarah. My brothers, These salasils, to be connected to the silsila, is an extremely valuable and precious thing indeed. Your family folk, your women folk, your wife, your children, relatives, make them get the connection, relationship. Just make the connection. And you know, just making the switch when you're wiring and connecting, you know, for example, the lights here and the ceiling, but the cable runs all the way across down to the switch and then it goes to the meter and the meter, the switch comes on, and wherever that current runs, it makes everything light up, isn't it? So Allah's Nabi Sallam, this is his silsila. Through Abu Bakr Siddiq, this is his switch that is running. The current flows through the whole world, this Naqshbandi silsila. Same example. So what big value in the Naqshbandi silsila. Big value. So its color and its effect is unique. Naqshbandi silsila, beautiful color and effect. Why? Because this is the color of Siddiq, his effect of Siddiq. And about Siddiq, what did Rasulullah say? About every Sahaba, Rasulullah gave beautiful explanation that every companion of mine has a great color. And the four Khalifas, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Usman, Hazrat Ali, radiyallahu anhu, had his effect. Hazrat Ali said that he is my Ali, he is from my blood. And Hazrat Umar, radiyallahu anhu, and Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, and Hazrat Uthman. All the four Khalifas, and the Sahaba said that Usman used to keep on crying when he used to see the graveyard. He used to cry so much, he used to cry that his beard was wet. What's happened to you, Uthman? Why are you crying? He said, I am crying by looking at the grave. They said, why are you feeling sad? That Sahabi who's asking the question, I can't remember his name, he said, why are you sad by looking at the grave? He said, I'm extremely sad. I heard from Rasulullah that this is the first destination a person will go to after death, and whoever succeeds there will be successful. So what will happen to Uthman? Imagine about the Khalifas and the Sahaba, their khawf, their fear. What will happen to Uthman? He said, Uthman, what are you saying? I testify from my ears, I've heard, the other Sahabi said. I bear witness, not once, not twice, three times Allah's Nabi said, Uthman is Jannati, Uthman is Jannati, Uthman is Jannati. But even despite that, Uthman did not stop crying. Say Subhanallah. Every Sahabi had a beautiful, unique style. Hazrat Umar radiallahu, what a beautiful statement Rasulullah said. He kept on crying. Hazrat Umar radiallahu. He came home. He's screaming, shrieking, crying. And his wife said, what's happened to you, Umar? Lion, brave, courageous. Umar had so much power that shaitan, I'm talking to you about shaitan today, wherever Umar used to walk, shaitan, he would run miles away from Umar radiallahu anhu. And he's crying, screaming one day, and he sat down. His son said, Abba, what's happened? He said, call your mother, call your mother, call your mother. Mother came. Umar, what's wrong? What's the issue? What's happened to you? Why are you crying so much? What's the problem? He said that I was just coming and people were praising me. I heard it. He's a good man. He's pious. He's this and that. So suddenly in my heart a thought came. There's something to listen to you. This is suddenly coming in my mind. Listen to this fact. And today we're talking about the wives and the sisters. He says, suddenly I thought that they're saying I'm good and pious. But I'm crying about this point that I, upon what, if even what they're saying, if I'm forgiven, but till I know myself that you're sat in front of me, I know that have I fulfilled your rights or not? I know if I've done this or not. So I'm thinking, I'm crying for this reason, that what they're saying, the people outside, that I'm extremely ashamed of my wife, I've not fulfilled her rights. Sometimes I'm doing this, I'm going outside, doing duties there, tasks there, night I get up, I do this, I'm protecting this person, safeguarding this person, I give to the disbelievers first. But I put my hands together. Umar radiallahu is saying, look, this is the wife's rights. This is called the fear. Extreme accounts we have to give for our women folk. Not, they didn't come to our house to cut the ginger and the garlic and the onions. Look at their nails that they've spoilt, those poor souls. So he said, I put my hands together, I beg, I plead, please forgive me. He said, for the sake of Allah, please forgive me. Umar is saying this. She looked at Umar and she said, Umar, what is he saying? He said, please. She said, yes, you are totally right. That you have not given me time that you should have given to me. Umar, when you see him, he's there, he's over there. Umar is here. You didn't give the rights of the wife. I pulled up the children. I did the task for you. You didn't give me the rights. And she started to shriek more, and he screamed more, cried more, that, oh, he thought my waswasa was right. Because this is what he said, totally correct the way I was feeling. That's why I was thinking like this. Please forgive me. She said, I won't. And then he says to his son, tell your mother, forgive me, what shall I do? What will I do in the hereafter? I've not fulfilled the right. He says, Umar radiallahu anhu, the second Khalif of Islam. This is not some story Jack and Ori I'm sharing with you. Yes, today, even now, the people who don't believe in this, they say, Umar, there's no man like him, that no one in history has passed like Umar. People who disbelieve accept that. The dunya today accepts that. That Umar is crying in front of who? The person we don't even think is worth a taka for us today in our life. If we had respect, then we would teach her dhikr. She is valued, that there is no value for our women folk in our eyes. Yes, we just run after Jannah so much for ourselves, then try for Jannah for your wife. And Umar is crying that, please, my wife, forgive me. She said, no, I won't forgive. Then he cried again, please forgive me. She said, okay, one condition I'll forgive you on. Subhanallah. He said, 10 conditions, tell me, 10. Now please free me from the punishment of the hereafter after going to my grave. I want to be with my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I can't leave him. And today if you don't forgive me, then my line will change. But subhanAllah, this woman, then she said, okay, I will forgive you, but there's one condition. What is that? The condition, will you fulfill it? He said, I'll fulfill it. Promise. And here's my son, Sati, he's the witness. She said, the promise this, give me a promise, that when, in the hereafter, and the paradise is being decided, then you have to refer to Allah, that I will not go into paradise until I don't take my wife in that maqam and with me. And then she started crying. She said, Umar, that you... I cry for this reason all night long, that I could not serve you completely, Allah. Imagine the love they had. That you cry, coming to me pleading, but where will I go? I cry all the time. I cry in front of my Rabb at tahajjud time, that I could not fulfill the rites and serve my husband. That I don't have hands, I can press his legs. And I can't have anything, that I can comb his hair. I don't have the hands, that I can give food with my hands to him. Such a great man, Allah, you've given to me as a husband. Such a great man, such a pious man you've given to me as a husband. The angels do ziyarah of Hazrat Umar, and there's no comparison of human being. You give me him as a husband, but I could not serve him. Where will I go? And today you've given me the promise. Now I'm satisfied, Umar, that now I will go with you into paradise. There'll be Jannah and it'll be me and Umar. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ مِنْ شَرِّ وَسْوَاسِلْ خَنَّاسِ. So where are we now? Where does the wasa created? فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ. That if you in your life want to attain success and you want to be safe from the evil whispers, and where does the whisper developed? Hadith. That was that hadith I was sharing with you, wasn't it? The heart, Bayatan, I said this, isn't it? That in the heart of the human being, there are two quarters, two rooms. I was talking about the heart, yes. So the spiritual heart we're talking about, and the spiritual realm that those inhabitants on the heavens, they can see, is about the heart we're talking about. And it's not the heart that we see, there's the stunt inside the valves and it's pumping blood. In our heart, Rasulullah said, is just like this, that in mine and your hearts, there are two rooms, two quarters. This is the reality of the heart that I'm sharing with you. How many quarters, how many rooms? Bayatan. Two rooms, two houses, two abodes. One is the words of the hadith, what is inside the heart? That one house, one room, one quarter, who lives in that? The angel lives in there, dwells in there. And in the other quarter, the other home, is shaitan who dwells in there. And look at how Allah Ta'ala has prepared this. So the reality are the hadith of Sahih Muslim I'm sharing with you. It's not a drama, it's not a story. Yes, maybe I'm broken down, but I take you to the end point, to the understanding. Yes, I'm broken down, humble, I'm not worth anything, but I deliver the complete message to you, inshallah. So he stated there are two rooms in your heart, two houses in your heart. So understand the solution to the waswasa, the evil thoughts, how we will have to eliminate the evil whispers and become human beings. So in our heart there are two rooms, two abodes. And who lives in the two rooms? In one lives, yes, the angel, malaika. And the other one, as-shaytan. Shaytan lives in the other room. Who's telling us this? Yes, Mughli Azam. Nabi al-Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mubashirun wa nadheer. He came into the dunya. He is telling us this teaching. So then, now listen. So on one side is shaitan in the heart, and on the other hand is the angel, the other side. And when insan, the human being, when he does the dhikr of Allah, وَمَن يَذْكُرُ اللَّهِ, the hadith says, when a person does the dhikr of Allah, then shaitan runs out of his room, his house, he comes out of the heart. Look at this hadith. Allah has given us a complete system. Allah has developed this system inside us. Allah has created this solution, such a great favor the Quran has done upon us. It's telling us the solution, that never should you be devoid of success. Allah says, لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ, and you'll come into Jannah, into paradise during your life, and your hearing will change, your seeing will change, your tongue will change, if you control your evil thoughts. Never will you run away from Jama'ah, pray in Jama'ah. Never will you run away from Salah. Never will you run away from Dhikr. Never will you leave your Dhikr. Never will you listen to your waswasa, because you've controlled your bad thoughts. Yes, so at that time when you do Dhikr of Allah, this hadith tells us what will happen then. Shaitan runs, he scarpers. And when you stop doing Dhikr of Allah, the hadith will tell us then, when you stop doing Dhikr of Allah, what will happen? Shaitan, he continues and he puts his teeth onto your heart, ready to bite. This is the system that's happening inside us. And that he puts his teeth onto your heart, his bite, as soon as he puts that, his fangs, you could say, you know, with the fangs or with which, you know, like you have the, you know, you could have like the beak, you could say. He's got his beak, he puts it on your heart, through which the injection is made. Then suddenly the waswasa will come into your heart because of his sting. You don't pray salah, you don't need to pray salah. If you pray salah, how will you run your shop? How are you going to earn bread? And the customer's coming, you're running to salah. It's a waswasa shaitan. Oh, leave it, I'll start from tomorrow. That tomorrow will never arrive. You don't go to pray in Jama'ah, I'll go from tomorrow. Oh, why don't you do this action? I'll do it from tomorrow. Why don't you keep the beard? Oh, after Hajj, I'll keep the beard. After I get married, I'll keep the beard, he says. Everything he delays. What is this? Waswasa shaitan that will take a person to the bank of death. And when the waswasa goes far away, immediately at that time, fear comes into that human being. And his body starts to shake. His eyes are humble at that time. He says, Allah, I'm finished. So many days and years I've wasted. Allah, my mouth is in front of me. Suddenly his life changes, his style changes. So how do you change? Logic tells us in the hadith, there are two rooms, two houses in your heart. One is the room of who? The angel, and the other one is shaitan. Soon as you do dhikr of Allah, shaitan will scarper. He will leg it. And as soon as you stop doing dhikr of Allah, stop remembering Allah, then shaitan will come and put his beak, his mouth on your heart, and he'll inject the waswasas into your heart. Subhanallah. Mujaddad al-Afthani, they read this hadith. Who? Hazrat Mujaddad al-Afthani read this hadith. He is the Bani of the Naqshbandi Silsila. And his eyes were not like our physical eyes. His hearing wasn't like our physical hearing. Zahiri, yes he did, but Batini was different to us spiritually. So when he did Muraqabah like this in the morning. He said, Allah, hadith, I've studied this hadith and I've got yaqeen on this hadith, Allah. But Allah, could you show me some tafsir of this hadith? Subhanallah. So he said, I want to see that shaitan. What does he do? What game does he play? Why? Because he was muballigh. He was a mujaddad, revived the deen, and his work, he had yaqeen, and obviously, mashallah, his maqam, his yaqeen was total. He said, Allah, show you, give me that physical experience, visibility. What happens with shaitan? So what happened? Allah Ta'ala said, okay, I'll expose that, what shaitan does. So look at your heart, I'll open the doors for you to understand. So have the experience. So when he was a dhakir, when he did dhikr, and he controlled his dhikr kalbi, and obviously, mashallah, through dhikr, and soon as he stopped, a great individual, me and you, what will happen to us? Lord? And we said, we pray salah. We're successful. That salah in which where there are thousands of whispering, I'm a haji, that hajj we have done, that tilawati we are, the haji we are, the hafzi Quran we are, tell me. That Mufassir al-Islam we call ourselves, that all wasawis, whispering and evil thoughts are inside us. And he was Mujaddad al-Afthani. According, comparing to him, there's no Wali Allah who had this title in the history of Islam. No Wali Allah had this title. Mujaddad al-Afthani. And he stopped doing dhikr, tak shaitan came. Because the hadith is haq. The sooner you stop doing dhikr, what will happen? Tak shaitan, he will come and he will bite. Soon as he stopped doing dhikr, he put his mouth on his heart. He said, my whole body started to change at that time. Say subhanallah. Wasawis, They started to come inside me that he had never tasted ever. Mujaddad al-Afthani, la hawla wa la quwwata. He said, what's happening here, Allah? And he started doing dhikr quickly, and suddenly his heart changed again. وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَلَكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Mu'min, his glory is what? The status of a mu'min who wants to go into paradise. One moment in his life should never be devoid of the dhikr of Allah. He should never stop doing dhikr of Allah. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا. One moment in the life, if you leave dhikr of Allah and your death comes, then wasawis shaitan will be inside you when you pass away. This is dhikr-e-qalbi, dhikr of the heart, my friends. Dhikr-e-qalbi, imagine Naqshbandi, his whole body is affected. The Naqshbandi teacher trains the whole body to do dhikr of Allah. Have courage, determination, don't waste time. Shaykh, take hold of your shaykh and make your body a dhakir. Otherwise, remember this waqiyat, these events I've told you from the hadith. Severe time is to come. Severe time is to come. For about which 1 second a person, if he does do dhikr of Allah, a human being, if this is his conclusion, then those who don't do dhikr at all, imagine their hal, what salah, what muamalat, what will be the circumstances, and how much he will be severely treated. Iman is so weak today of the human being. Yes, imagine their hal, the condition of the iman of that individual. That he himself, a person, listen to me what I'm saying. One is a person who makes his own sketch of his own deen. No, I do this, I practice, I do the actions. Allah is Ghafoor Rahim, he will forgive me. I'll tell you the tashri of this Ghafoor Rahim as well. People say this. This is also a big waswasa, negative, evil thought of shaitan makes you sin so much, and then we say Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. Allah is merciful and gracious. This is also waswasa. That we sin immensely, and we do zina immensely. We listen to music and instruments immensely, and we say, Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. Ya Allah will forgive. Oh, I'll read Surah Mulk in the night and I'll be successful. And all the azab will go. We say this. Why? Because Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. Is this not the case in amongst us? This is waswas of shaitan. One is our deen that we made. Remember one thing. Deen will go with us. That deen will be successful 100% is according to the preference and the choice of Allah. Remember this point. Don't follow what you prefer and think is correct, your opinion. I do this, I think this is fine. If you don't do this, doesn't make any difference. Do this, this won't happen. That won't. No. Allah has said one thing. What my Mahbubzam gives to you, take it. What he tells you to leave, leave it. Reject it. End of story. Shun it. That's it. That's the standard of Islam. When you look at your life, morning till night, have you done all those actions that Rasulullah ﷺ told you to leave? Have you done those actions? How many of you left those actions that Rasulullah ﷺ said leave? Have you left them? Yes, then the intoxication, suddenly within seconds, the intoxication will go. He's my sheikh, he's my peer, this is my tariqah. Nothing at all will succeed. This is all of these ways and methods, asbab, they are the ways to attain the end point, they're not the maqsood. If after you get a sheikh, a teacher, if you've not attained the objective, then no benefit of your soul. But after doing dhikr, you've not attained the objective of the end point, then there's no benefit of your dhikr. All your life you can have tasbih in your hand. But if you don't get the end point, it doesn't matter how beautiful a car you've bought, big, grand model, new model, and big car in society. But if it doesn't take you from the journey A to B, it's a waste of a car. Yeah, those wheels just turning for nothing. Is there any benefit of that car? You spend £100,000, but I didn't succeed in that journey. How can you if you don't preserve that journey? You're just standing there and the wheels are revolving round, round, round. Look at that salah, your practice, your ibadah. What's the benefit if it's just making you stand there still stagnant? So these wasail, if you haven't got to the end point, if due to your shaykh's connection, you haven't got to the end point, your destination, then you're wasting the time. Through this Quran, you haven't believed in Allah and you haven't pleased Allah. Through this salah, you haven't pleased Allah. Then all of these wasail be a waste of time. Take the whole pure deen into your life. And the end of that is Allah's raza, Allah's pleasure. Every practice of the deen ends with Allah's pleasure. Say subhanallah. Don't make your own sketch, your own opinions. I do this, I'm forgiven. This much thawab. Thawab will be only thawab by that time when you get to Allah's pleasure. Oh, in London there's a nice restaurant, nice kebabs. If you go there, the takeaways are good. Fine, accept it. But you have to get to London to eat that. Otherwise you can't eat it. Say subhanallah. You have to get to the end point. And what's the end point? Please Allah. My brothers, when you please Allah, then the salah will be accepted. When you please Allah, then your hajj will give you the thawab. When you please Allah, then the recitation will give you reward. So then these actions will take you to the end point if you get Allah's pleasure. So all of these things, waswasa, cannot come in. The first cure of waswasa, evil thoughts, يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ. Do dhikr whilst walking, sitting, lying down. And dhikr cannot come into you until you don't go to the person who teaches dhikr. And then what muqam comes? Hazrat Jafar was asked, then I conclude what a beautiful from Hazrat Jafar is a shaykh in our silsala. Rahmatullah alayhi. Radiyallahu anhu. Hazrat Jafar Sadiq. He's from the Ahlul Bayt. What did he say? Someone asked him, Hazrat, tell me that dhikr, how much should a person do dhikr of Allah, remembrance of Allah? What is the question? Who's giving the answer? Hazrat Jafar Sadiq rahmatullahi was given the answer. Who is the son of Hazrat Hussein? Say subhanallah. What was his answer? Imagine his answer. Husseini. He said, imagine his answer, and he was leaning against the Kaaba. He got up. He said, what did you ask me? He said, please tell me, how much dhikr should we do? Listen to his answer. He said, forget about quantity. Until that time we do dhikr until that time. The person who doing dhikr, until we don't hear the conclusion of his pleasure. That's the answer. And after answer that statement, I'm telling you, and this is called maraqaba. Maraqaba, you don't speak in maraqaba. Say subhanallah. You understand what I'm saying, Sufi sahab? In maraqabah, when you say Naqshbandi says do maraqabah, then that means you be quiet now. Now listen, what is he saying above? Hi, hi, subhanallah. If there's a person in the reality with tears closed, if he understood the understanding of Ramz, if there's an ashik, a true lover sitting here, that listen to him, that you have told him too many things in salah, you've said many things, Quran recitation, hajj, now you come into maraqabah, now you be quiet and listen to him, how he remembers you. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين كوكي لس راسا درود شريف and do ذكر والله
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد سيدنا الحبيب اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وسلم اللهم اغفر لنا انت لا اله الا انت ربنا سلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد اذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمه انك انت الغفور اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم ثبتنا على الايمان وامتنا على الايمان واجعلنا على الايمان اللهم نسلك صحة في ايماننا الايمان في حسن خلق نجاتنا يتابع ورحمة منك اللهم ايمانا يهدف نيم يمرق نبي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم حسن الخاتمة اللهم حسن الخاتمة اللهم حسن اللهم بارك لنا في الموت فيما بعد الموت اللهم بارك لنا في الموت فيما بعد الموت يا حي يا قيوم رحمتك اللهم اتخذ من شيطان عند الموت اللهم استر اللهم لك الحجة الإيمان عند الموت يا رحم الرحيمين يا رحم الرحيمين اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا اللهم حاسبنا حسابا اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا اللهم ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا واستاذينا والشيخ وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه نور ارشه زينه فرشه وعليه وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين امين.